Good morning, church family. Trust everyone's going well. We've had a few people in hospital this week and we're continuing to pray for their recovery. A couple of the guys, Jeff and Figaro, seem to have walked straight down the middle of the valley of the shadow and death. And by all accounts, they've made it through the other side. I was talking to Jeff. He said that God was with him. He was definitely walking through that valley of the shadow of death with Jeff all the way and brought him through. So that's great news, great testimony to have, although you wouldn't want to do that every week. So today it's quite relevant, actually. We're looking at a few passages to do with things that we can't really control ourselves. We have to trust God for.
My shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures, he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever, and bless your holy.
One of the things that sometimes I ask at church when everyone's there is how we're going with our knowledge or putting things into practice, and normally do a little pop quiz occasionally. It's a bit hard looking at a camera, can't get much feedback, but have a think about that. How much of this is actually you applying to your life? I've had a few opportunities to do some spiritual disciplines, and last week was we looked at prayer. So how did you go spending time with God in prayer and getting to know God, our Father? This week we're going to have a look at 2 Samuel chapter 4 and delve into that and see what God has for us today. So basically we've got Saul's son. His name's Ish-bosheth, and when he found out that Abner had died, Abner's right hand was his right-hand man, it says that he lost all courage, and as a result of that, there are some of his guards that turned on him as well. And their names were Baana and Rechab, and they were captains of Ishbosheth's raiding party. And they basically go and murder their king. And so, similar to the passage last time when someone turned up to David with the head of the king and saying what he'd done, at Saul's death, they thought they'd be rewarded for this prize of Ish-bosheth's head, and David in turn decides to kill them. And this is the reasoning that David gives to why he killed these men. It says in verse 9, "But David said to Rechab and Baana, 'The Lord, who saves me from all my enemies, is my witness.'" And someone once told me that Saul is dead, thinking that he might be bringing me good news. But I seized him and I killed him at Ziklag. That's the reward I gave him for his good news. How much more should I reward evil men who have killed an innocent man in his own house and on his own bed? Shouldn't I hold you responsible for his blood and rid the earth of you? And so David kills these two guys. But it's interesting, isn't it, that David recognizes that it's the Lord who saves. And he was really against the death of Saul and really against even Ish-bosheth, who both were opposing David. But it's interesting to me that David allows God to do his job. And if in God's time, David will be made king. And David's willing to take that time just to trust God for that and not take things into his own hands. And I think that's really the point of this passage, and a really important point for us to take home as well. There are times in our life when we want to take things into our own hands and even use our own wisdom or our own strength in order to do God's job for him. But we have to learn the lesson, like David has done here, that it's God who saves. And we can't do God's job for him. Otherwise, we're taking justice into our own hands, and we're not wise enough to make those sorts of decisions. Right throughout history, Christians have been doing this, and it's really put a bad name on the whole of the Christendom. You remember the Crusades, where they took things into their own hands. There have been witch hunts and inquisitions, where Christians have just taken the justice into their own hands and really given God a bad name, God a bad rap. And I'm sure that that is not the way God wanted these people to handle their enemies. God tells us to do the opposite, is to love and to show grace. And so really David is a good example here of what God's wanting us to do. It's to show grace to his enemies and let God deal with these people in his own way.
You prepare a table right before me, in the presence of my
Now, injustice against, you know, our enemies is difficult to deal with, and there are times when we'll be mistreated, and we just have to trust God with that and leave our enemies with God. One of our major enemies that we deal with constantly is death. It's we face death daily, I think Paul says, and he also says that death's our last enemy. And so isn't it great to know that we don't have to conquer that one on our own? We can leave that up to God and leave that up to Jesus, who has conquered death for us and given us a real hope for eternal life. That leads us into chapter 5 of Pilgrim's Journey today. And he's on his way through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, believe it or not. And it's a really difficult journey, this one, for Christian. He meets two guys running the other way because the journey was just too hard and too scary for them, and they were running in fear for their life. But Christian decides to go on, and he has to walk this narrow road through this valley. And on one side it's a sheer drop, and another side it's this pit of despair where if he falls into, he's gone forever. And so he has to balance his way through this very difficult journey called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And at the other end, he sees this light, but it's really this light of hell that is lighting the path. It's a tough road for him. Even his sword, he says, is pointless. His trusty sword, with which he put Apollon to fight, was of no avail, for they cared not for his sword. These evil spirits were flying around as he was going through the Valley of Shadow of Death. And they would push him off the path, and he would drop into the depths of hell and be lost forever. So this is an interesting chapter. He's on his way through this journey. It's at this point Christian quotes this, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And isn't that true? And it says that this thought immediately gave Christian courage for three reasons. Number one, he gathered from this that there were in the valley others who feared God beside himself. A great thought to be known that we're not alone in this. There are other people going through the valley of the shadow of death. And number two, he perceived that if God was with these other people, then it would make sense that God is with him as well. And so that's a great comfort. And then number three, he said that he hoped to overtake these people, or catch up with them, not overtake them, and have company with them. And so it's really, that's the point of the church, isn't it? That we're on this journey together, and it's been a real comfort to know that for the guys going through their situation, that they're not alone. That has brought a lot of comfort. And so can I really encourage you to continue that support on WhatsApp for one another. If someone asks for prayer, then just give them a thumbs up and a prayer, and let them know that we're praying for you, because it's really important that people know that they're not alone on this journey. So on his way, finally, Christian does catch up with a guy called Faithful, and they're a great comfort to each other, it says that. And thus, they went on talking, and so they made the hours pass easily, which might otherwise have been tedious of them. Then, all of a sudden, Faithful spied a man on the road ahead. "Who's that?" he cried once more, consumed with fear. But Christian said, "That's my good friend Evangelist." And so it was. Evangelist had come, as to his wont, to warn them yet again. And he said this, "Don't think you're out of the gunshot of the devil. For the gospel says, my sons, in order to pass, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to pass through many tribulations." So we are going through lots of tribulations. That passage really seems relevant at the moment, doesn't it? There is just this year has just been crazy, and we've gone through quite a lot. And the hard thing is that we can't actually gather together physically to encourage and build up one another. That has been, I guess, the hardest thing out of all of it. We can deal with tribulations because we have each other, but when we've been separated, that makes it even tougher. So it's, you know, get together with when you can with small groups and pray for one another and encourage one another on WhatsApp. Today we're going to have a look at another spiritual discipline. And the thought occurred to me that we are, because we're alone, it's good to get used to the idea of being in company with God. And so today we're going to look at solitude and try and practice solitude, spending time just you and God, all alone, and just a few minutes of the day. Just really make that a focus where you can actually put that time aside and just sit, just be in the presence of God, because even though we're separated physically, the great thing to know is that God will never leave us or forsake us. Regardless of the trial, regardless of the tribulation, regardless of the situation that we find ourselves, God will always be there. So let me pray for you today. Father, we just thank you that we have your word. We thank you that we have your spirit. We thank you that we have one another to be a comfort and a support as we go through difficult times. We thank you for the avenue of prayer that we can come to you. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your presence with us each day, that you are with us, whatever our situation, that you're comforting, that you're healing, that you're guiding, that you're caring for us, that you're bringing people along our path at the right time to minister to us, to guide us and direct us. So we thank you for our church, and Lord, even though we're separated, I ask that you'll bless each one and help us to realize that we still are one church, and that you are working in and amongst us, even though we're separated. So we thank you for all of these things, and I ask you to bless each one in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so just a recap for this week. Don't forget to have a look at 2 Samuel chapter 5 and see if you can pick something out. Just share that on WhatsApp with the group. No right or wrong. It's your thoughts, God speaking to you, and I'm sure it'll be a great encouragement to someone. Don't forget to spend some time alone with God. It's different to silence. You can talk. Silence is just listening. It's listening to God. Time alone with God is different. It's just you and God together and just having a great conversation together. So really enjoy that and encourage you to continue journaling and all of the other things that we're practicing. We are developing strength and character as we do these disciplines together. Have a great week. Surely goodness, surely